Xbox@amdro.com.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Rudy Giuliani. Looks like he's coming in.
I don't think anybody's going to be supporting him. I'm sorry. And I love Rudy Giuliani, but he had his shot. Where are they going to get the money? Who's going to be supporting him?
You know, the problem is that his brand is fear. And now is not a really good time to be running on fear. You know, I mean, hey, you notice the guy who was in there, he just got that Osama character. That's going to make it a lot tougher for Rudy. Barack Obama,
Osama.
You know, killed Osama, sort of. Right, or his SEALs did anyway. And that's,
you know,
that's what Rudy is running on.
Here's Lou Dobbs along with Liz Wheel and Ellis Hennigan talking about Rudy Giuliani testing the waters in New Hampshire for a possible presidential run. Don't you want to see at least one more candidate in there? Come on. That's how we get started on this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Steffen here for the next hour. We'll be focused on the Republican presidential candidates yet again. From Fox, Brett Baier talks to political analyst Carl Cameron, who has heard rumors about Rudy preparing to run.
Rumblings about some new entries in the Republican presidential sweepstakes. Chief political correspondent Carl Cameron is chasing those down tonight. Good evening, Carl.
Hi, Brett. Well, that rumbling is really more from Republican voters who just aren't happy with their current 2012 presidential choices, if you believe the polls. And that has former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani flirting with yet another go. He's toying with testing the waters in New Hampshire, right around the 10-year anniversary of the September 11th attacks later this year, to see if he can just catch on in the Granite State. Giuliani's a pro-choice social moderate, which is a tough sell in the GOP, but independents can vote in New Hampshire's primary, so Rudy's calling around to gauge the enthusiasm. A candidate who officially entered the race just this Saturday, businessman Herman Cain, had a pretty rough start. In his Fox News Sunday interview, Cain was unaware of Palestinian demands for a right of return to their homeland, or that Israel has big misgivings about it. Cain had some cleanup to do on Hannity.
I didn't even conceive of him asking me about the right of return. I now know what that is. The thing that you're going to learn about Herman Cain, if he doesn't know something, he's not going to try and fake it or give an answer that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's not something you hear on TV very often from a candidate. And we also have a new hopeful eyeing run, four-term Congressman Thaddeus G. McCotter of Michigan, which, not coincidentally, is Mitt Romney's home state. Take a look at their Mitt. McCotter's a 45-year-old Gen Xer, a cultural conservative, a rock and roll guitar player with a small but growing following. He's known for a razor-sharp, dry wit, and even managed to work a Led Zeppelin lyric into a recent floor speech. He could really shake things up if he gets into the race. And finally, Brett, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, who's been exploring since March, plans to officially join the race the week of June 5th.
Here's host Jimmy Cefalo with David Mark from Politico.com about the field of Republican candidates.
The Republicans don't have a candidate for 2012. That part is obvious, and more candidates are saying no. And now a lot of the big donors are trying to convince others, like Jeb Bush, to run. And Jeb has said, no, I'm not running. So has Governor Perry from Texas, Governor Christie from New Jersey. I keep waiting for Rudy Giuliani to jump into the race. No, we haven't had much word about that either. So I hope that occurs.
No Mitch Daniels, no Mike Huckabee.
No, a lot of people
have said
no. No Donald Trump. Oh, my God.
Although now he's saying he won't rule anything out.
Who, Donald Trump?
Correct.
Oh, please. Another scam. You know, another scam. It's just amazing. Let's find a candidate here. Here to talk about it is a man who was a part of a group that we read quite often, Politico and Politico.com senior editor David Mark. Good morning to you, David.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
Same here. Thanks. Now, all right, who's left out there? Who are the donors and the parts of the party that control this kind of thing actually going to be able to convince any of the names I just mentioned to run?
I don't think so. There really isn't much room for a draft movement in presidential politics these days. The process has become so rigorous. You have to want it so badly and suffer so many indignities that normal people would not want to be part of, that if your heart isn't fully in it, it's unlikely any of these other figures would actually jump into the race.
And that's one of the reasons Mitch Daniels didn't run. He had the baggage with his wife who had left him years ago, had married another man, come back to the family years later, and he didn't want to put anybody through all that nonsense either.
Right, he was pretty upfront about it. He didn't explicitly list that as the reason, but it was obvious that was a major consideration for him. And it's understandable why. You're subject to all kinds of scrutiny. Even if you lose, it can be a life-changing event. Things would never be the same after that, after the information's all been exposed. So that was a major consideration for him.
Coming up, we'll hear about a few more possible candidates. Sarah Palin's one. Jeb Bush is another one. Yeah, we need four more years of another Bush, right? up next on the Talk Countdown.
Guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy and the stamina to do anything, anytime? Wish you could have the testosterone of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with Progene Daily Complex. Progene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men naturally produce more testosterone. Right now, you too can try a free month's Progene supply absolutely free. 800-690-9738. Supplies are limited. 800-690-9738. 800-690-9738. Shipping and processing fees apply.
Do you know your blood is like a fingerprint? It's unique to every individual. Locked inside of your blood are the answers to your specific nutritional needs. Dr. Ken and I have found Body Bio, a company that has the key to unlocking the mysteries of your blood.
Doug, the Body Bio report is an evidence-based, safe and natural way toward better health. Why go and guess what vitamins and supplements you need? This is a way to take what you specifically need in terms of nutritional supplements and get better health.
All right, BodyBioReport.com is the website. Purchase a blood test. Body Bio will send you a form. You take it to the nearest lab or your doctor's office. In a few days, you'll know what you should be taking in terms of vitamins and minerals and supplements. It's evidence-based, as Ken said. Go online to BodyBioReport.com. Get on the right nutrient road today, and you could possibly eliminate the need for prescription drugs tomorrow. BodyBioReport.com.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Sam from Provo writes, how come a slim chance and a fat chance mean the same thing, but a wise man and a wise guy are opposites?
Oh, it's a peculiar mystery indeed. Sort of like how Geico's website is geico.com, not geico.ridiculouslysimplesavings or geico.payyourbill from the comfort of your computer. Both those names would make a lot more sense.
Wow, you are a wise man, Gecko, man.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like thank you, like we'll never forget you, like we're behind you 100%. Like we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
This is the Talk Radio in Review. Doug Steffen focusing on the field of possible Republican presidential candidates. From CNN, Brooke Baldwin here with Frank Bailey. Bailey had been a longtime Sarah Palin staff member who's just written a book about his time on her campaign.
You know, you write in the very beginning about how you joined the Sarah Palin crusade for change. Those were your words in the early days of her gubernatorial candidacy back in November of 2005. What was it that you sort of seemed smitten, politically smitten by her? What drew you in?
You know, myself, along with many other volunteers, fought so hard because of the principles that we believed Palin would fight for as well. I mean, the political climate in Alaska was not good at that point. And we looked to Sarah to be that person that could come in, that breath of fresh air, and actually clean up politics in Alaska. And I am not the only one. There were many people that just worked tirelessly to get her elected.
Yeah, and then you describe how you flip open the white pages and you cold call her and then you email her and the rest is history. And I know that you've kept, you know,
right.
some 50,000 different emails between Sarah Palin and yourself. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the legality of publishing them has been questioned. But I want to give an example of one of these emails. This is a message. This was sent by Sarah Palin to campaign staff suggesting they start a phony letter-writing campaign to various newspaper editors. So this is the one example, and this is what we've shortened. She actually had written, "Dear editor, it's been a pleasure watching our lifelong Alaskan gal, Sarah Palin, campaign for governor these past 6 months. Here's another suggestion as part of this letter to an editor. Sarah tells it like it is and is obviously not your typical politician signed, you know, fill in the blank here. You said, you write about how you felt compromised participating in that particular and several others after the fact letter campaign. In what way did you feel compromised?
You know, Brooke, I mean, the letter writing piece was one of many pieces, but, you know, the book is very much a confessional where I own things that I did wrong and that, you know, I participated in that later on, you know, as time went on, I started to look back on and realize, what are you doing, Frank? And, you know, things that Sarah was obsessive about. I mean, we talk about rigging the online polls and how important that was to her, and she would tip us off every single time one of those polls would come up, and we would do everything we could to try to vote clear cookies, re-vote for her, getting 8, 10, 12 computers going at the same time. Those were minor things. There were bigger things, things that I have to live with, you know, that bugged my conscience over a long period of time.
But, Frank, if it bugs your conscience, allow me to just press you for a moment. It bugged your conscience, but you write and you just say, you know, you were an active participant in this. Even though the book is called Blind Allegiance, you weren't so blind, and it's tough as a reader to be very sympathetic.
You know, Brooke, that is absolutely fair. And, you know, you go into something vesting so much. I mean, you look at this like a relationship that maybe isn't going so well. I'm such an optimist. I want to turn around. I want to believe that the next day is going to be better. And, you know, day after day after day, you do some things that are great that you feel wonderful about, and you do other things that aren't so good, but you stick with it. You just keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
You stuck with it.
And there was a final straw moment.
Talk goes to Eric Eggers and Preston Scott. Focused on the strong push in Florida to get Jeb Bush to run.
For as much as, I mean, I like Jeb Bush a lot. I think he'd be great. I'd vote for him. I voted for him for governor twice. But I guarantee you, even he would not be immune to the Tea Party ideological purity snobbery that gets cast upon him. I mean, with his views on immigration and his views on a couple of other issues that aren't lockstep, right? Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, man, blah, blah, blah. So even he would be viewed as, oh, we still don't have a good candidate.
Well, that's where, you know, you have to choose. You have to pick and choose. Just listen to the apologetic for him running. And this made by a guy who may not necessarily be a GOP fan. I don't know. But Coffler writes, he's popular among conservatives, but he doesn't scare moderates. He's a Southerner, but without the good old boy persona that can turn off Northerners. He's a Catholic who used to be a Protestant, so he has the base of two of the three most important religious voting blocks. He goes on to write, Bush is primed to rip sizable chunks out of Obama's 2008 support base. And this is where I think this guy makes the strongest case for people that might try to get Jeb's ear. Let's start with his home state of Florida. He was elected governor by a landslide in 98, reelected by a bigger landslide in 2004. He's only the second Florida governor to serve two full terms.
Well, by the way, that's not true. It's four terms. The article got that wrong, and Gary Finout pointed that out in the on Twitter yesterday. But, sorry, keep going.
That what?
That he's not the second one. He's the fourth.
Okay. With Bush, Florida almost certainly moves from Obama's column in 2008 to the GOP's in 2012. As a Southerner, Bush would likely reverse Obama wins in North Carolina, Virginia as well, while holding Senator John McCain's otherwise solid South. He can also help with the GOP's Latino problems. Bush speaks Spanish, majored in Latin American studies, and is married to a Latina. He's a proven record of attracting Latino support, amassing 80% of Cuban vote, 56% of non-Cuban Latino vote in 2002. For a Republican, he's polled strongly among Jews, receiving 44% of their votes in 2008. His successes as governor point a dagger straight at the heart of Obama's weaknesses. He makes a strong case.
Look, which makes this writer like the 11th billionth writer in a row to talk about what a strong presidential candidate Jeb Bush would be. Correct. You're right. He would be a really good candidate. He said he's not going to run.
Next up, the reaction in Iowa to Tim Pawlenty. That's up on the Talk Radio Countdown Show next.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank. and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Let's keep talking about what's going on in Talk Radio, News Talk Radio, and Talk Television. The Republican presidential candidates in Iowa, host Jan Michelson, talked to callers about Tim Pawlenty.
Does he have a political future in Iowa after basically telling Iowa farmers on his opening day as a formal candidate that we're going to have to phase out ethanol subsidies and he's killing sacred cows? Does he have a future here now that he's said it? This is Steve. Good morning, Steve.
If I'm in a household and I'm accustomed to overspending, I'm using credit to fund my lifestyle, and I get serious about changing that situation, everybody in my family needs to hear the word no. The kids may not get to go to dancing lessons. We may not get new furniture. Everyone needs to share in the no. And that's the same thing our country needs to do, to think that we're going to change our financial situation but save ethanol. I'm just not sure that's in the card. Everyone needs to hear the word no.
You think tax subsidies for ethanol production is an example of overspending, out of control spending?
I don't know that. I haven't studied anything in that area, but it just seems like everybody wants to. They say they want to solve the budget problem, but don't change anything with what I get.
His direct quote was, America is facing a crushing debt crisis, the likes of which we've never seen. We have to cut spending. We need to cut it big time. The hard truth is there's no longer any sacred programs. Truth about federal energy subsidies, including subsidies for ethanol, is that they have to be phased out.
Yes.
You agree?
Well, I agree that everything has to be affected in some way. You can't shave a little here and shave a little there. It's got to be drastic spending cuts in order to solve the problem.
He hasn't nuked himself?
You know what? If he has nuked himself, then we in Iowa really don't want to hear the truth, because I think what he said was truthful.
All right. Hey, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it, sir. This is Paul. What do you say?
I'm a farmer myself, and I think it's probably time for the ethanol industry to stand on its own. In fact, people like the Iowa Corn Growers Association and Senator Grassley have proposed phasing out the ethanol subsidies as well. So as a farmer, you know, we talk about making the budget balance and making shared sacrifices. I'm all for making the shared sacrifice. It's probably time that ethanol can make it on its own.
So on a political basis, not a big deal? Where I was ready to hear this.
I think so. I mean, even some of farm state legislators like Charles Grassley have we realize that everybody's going to have to make a shared sacrifice, ethanol included, and I don't think it's going to be a make-or-break thing for Tim Pawlenty to say that enough.
Iowa host Steve Deasy thinks Pawlenty made a good first impression, including his comments on ethanol.
Well, they say you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And based on what I'm hearing from Iowans, Tim Pawlenty, the former Minnesota governor who came to our state on Monday to make his long-anticipated announcement, he's going to join the 2012 presidential fray, he made a pretty good first impression. And the reason I say that is because Iowans, like a lot of Americans, are starving for leadership. It's been interesting to watch the media take Tim Pawlenty's pronouncements that maybe it's time to make some tough decisions about ethanol as some sort of bold and courageous stand here in the state of Iowa. The reality is that's not necessarily the case. The ethanol industry in Iowa was unable to get their own state legislature to pass an ethanol mandate over the last couple of legislative sessions. It is waning in its political influence. The former baron of ethanol political influence, Bruce Rastetter, left that business behind, and now he's on the Board of Regents, courtesy of his buddy Terry Branstad. So it is an industry that's already been losing a little bit of its political clout. And the reason why, it's not because it's not a good product, not because Iowans don't need the business, it's because Iowans, like a lot of Americans, are worried about what's happening to their government and their economy. And they want their country back. And they want to secure their prosperity for future generations.
Up next, we'll focus on the Obama-Netanyahu discussions. That's up on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
New research using cutting-edge MRI technology shows that pharmaceutical-grade chondroitin sulfate, or CSB Bioactive, significantly helps lessen effects of osteoarthritis on cartilage and bone in the knee. Chondroitin is a natural substance in the body that helps keep cartilage healthy. Affecting over 27 million Americans, osteoarthritis causes the cartilage-protecting joint bones to lose flexibility and wear away. Without cushioning, bones rub against each other, causing structural changes. Painful bruises called lesions the bone marrow may occur. Everyday activities like climbing stairs or even walking can be difficult. After just 6 months of chondroitin sulfate treatment, patients had significantly less cartilage loss than those receiving placebo. By 12 months, treatment reduced the size of bone marrow lesions. According to lead researcher Dr. Jean-Pierre Pelletier of the University of Montreal Hospital Research Center, these findings show chondroitin sulfate reduces cartilage loss and other damage to the joint caused by osteoarthritis.
If you've never experienced gel-in with Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles,
you've never walked all the way to work on top of cushy throw pillows,
or worked the jackhammer while standing in a field of beautiful daisies.
That's because gel-in does more than change the way you feel. It changes your state of mind.
So I can teach my class while enjoying the soft white sand under my feet.
Experience all-day outrageous comfort for yourself with Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. Are you gel-in?
I'm glad I have feet.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Sam from Provo writes, how come a slim chance and a fat chance mean the same thing, but a wise man and a wise guy are opposites?
Oh, it's a peculiar mystery indeed. Sort of like how Geico's website is geico.com, not geico.ridiculouslysimplesavings or geico.payyourbill from the comfort of your computer. Both those names would make a lot more sense.
Wow, you are a wise man, gecko, ma'am.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Do you worry? Worried about gas prices or rising food costs? How about the incredible shrink in grocery? Are you looking for a way to supplement your food dollars, increase your nutrition, and prepare for an uncertain future? Would you like all of this to be free? Well, do we have an answer for you? Wild Edible Food. Author Linda Runyon spent many years learning to eat off the grid and many more refining her methods. When she retired from that life, she became dedicated to passing her knowledge on to people just like you. Let Linda show you how to add nutrition, stretch your food dollar, and depend less on established food supply channels. Go to ofthefield.com and take advantage of the same materials that groups, schools, camps, and churches are using to solve some of the problems you may be worried about. Or call 1-888-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com. Or call 1-888-513-2837 and take a big step toward peace of mind.
It is well known that protein nutrition is a key to optimum blood sugar levels. But to benefit at all from protein, your body must first be able to break down protein into amino acids. Once amino acids are liberated from proteins, your body uses them to make brain chemicals that make you feel alert and peaceful at the same time. Your pancreas uses them to regulate blood sugar and insulin. People are waking up and doing an about-face when it comes to nutrition. They are learning that a high-carbohydrate diet may encourage obesity and diabetes. They are now emphasizing proteins more to compensate. One protein source that is more easily broken down into amino acids is non-denatured whey protein. For better blood sugar and better weight, give One World Whey a try. One World Whey is the most powerful whey protein food on the market. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We're counting down what America is talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back to our countdown. I'm Doug Steffen. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke before a joint session of Congress this week, outlining his plan for peace with the Palestinians. On MSNBC, Andrew Mitchell talks to Netanyahu, and the focus is the president's comments about peace talks and Israel's borders.
I sat down with the prime minister after that speech and asked him about his differences of opinion with President Obama.
Well, I think the president shares with me, and I share with him, the desire to move the peace process forward. And I said in Congress that there's one way to move this thing forward. President Abbas of the Palestinian Authority has to do what I did 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I spoke to my people, and I said, I will accept a Palestinian state. I think the President Abbas has to say these same six words to his people. I will accept the Jewish state. You know what? I'll give him a break. Five words. I accept the Jewish state. Because I think if he says that, then that will move the process forward. People will say, okay, we have a real peace partner, and for real peace, we're willing to move and move quickly.
Prime Minister, the Palestinians have already said that what you said today in Congress, they have said that your speech was a declaration of war. Because from their perspective, you ruled out any division of Jerusalem. You are keeping the West Bank. You're not negotiating on refugees. They called that a declaration of war. Does that leave you and the Palestinians completely at odds, stalemated?
I think that's unfortunate because I think you could see from the reaction of both houses, of both sides of the aisle, both houses of Congress. People were excited. You know why? Because I said the truth. Because deep down, I mean, the reason we don't have peace is the Palestinians have refused to accept a Jewish state alongside a Palestinian state. I agreed to do that. I said to my people, I'm willing to do it. The Palestinian leader should be asked to say these simple words. I will accept a Jewish state. Believe me. He says that, all the walls, all the fences, all the problems will be swept aside and we can negotiate a real peace. I want to have a real peace with somebody who will make peace with me. I don't want to give him a state for him to continue the battle against Israel. I want this conflict to be ended.
With all due respect, you in effect had home court advantage with the United States Congress. You have a long record. You are a great politician. You know every button to push with American Democrats and Republicans. But that's not the world. The wider world is in upheaval. Is isn't Israel at risk of being isolated, of the UN taking action in September to declare a Palestinian state? That's what President Obama and his aides said that they were trying to avert.
The world is changing. We want to make sure that when we make peace, we not only have somebody who will recognize us, but that we know that we have a secure border to defend ourselves, not only to defend the peace, but to defend ourselves if peace unravels. And I think that we are seeing what is happening in Syria. We're seeing what is happening in other places in Egypt. We don't even know whether our peace partners will be there tomorrow. I mean, really, tomorrow, not in an abstract notion. So when we say we want mutual recognition and defensible borders for Israel, that's really the meat and potatoes of peace. That's what I said in Congress.
Here's Taco Cisco Cato with Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois. And they talk about Netanyahu's address to Congress as well.
You heard the speech, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, there in Congress, talking about the future of Israel and how he sees things moving forward. Sounds like he wants peace. Your thoughts on his speech? Seems like he's a guy who pretty much knows where he wants to go.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Netanyahu is one of the most charismatic and compelling speakers I've seen in a long time. And you can see in his eyes, you can see in his face, that's that 20, 30 feet from him, a man who is passionate about peace in the Middle East, passionate about the right for Israel to exist, and, you know, passionate just about his country. And, you know, one of the most compelling things he said, he goes, really, the issue in the Middle East hasn't been about the right to a Palestinian state. Everybody agrees on the right to a Palestinian state. The problem, frankly, is on the other side, agreeing to the right of Israel to exist. And that's really a bridge that hasn't been crossed. You have Hamas never recognizing the right of Israel to even exist, and now they're sitting at the table.
Yeah, and he stressed that yesterday. He said, hey, we have said that we can have a Palestinian state. They won't come out and say there is going to be an Israeli state.
Well, and that's exactly the point. I mean, the Middle East is very complicated, but you can't have real negotiations unless somebody at the table agrees that the other person has a right to even exist as a country.
What do you make of the fact that there in the Congress, it's not often that you get Republicans and Democrats together on anything there, yet I was seeing a lot of Democrats and Republicans standing together for ovations and clapping when they decided it was time to clap.
Yeah, you know, it's actually very compelling. Now, there are members of the Progressive Caucus that didn't clap or stand up once. But, you know, Republicans and Democrats were very united. This is one issue. You know, there are issues in Congress that everybody's united on, defense of the country, you know, et cetera. And Israel is one of those. I mean, that's really transcends party lines. That's why I was actually very surprised at what the president had said about Israel, you know, seeming to really start from the lowest common denominator on negotiations, which isn't where you need to go. You know, you don't negotiate.
Coming up, we shift gears to the conversation about the Supreme Court's ruling on overcrowding in prisons in America.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Susan from Miami asks, do you believe virtue is its own reward?
Ah, yes, indeed I do. But I also think cash is a pretty nice reward. And cash is exactly what you could save when you switch to Geico.
Right.
Yeah, and Geico also offers rewards in the form of good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and defensive driver discounts.
So maybe discounts are their own rewards.
Hard to argue with that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Men and women, do you look in the mirror and see dark circles under your eyes? Or do you have bags? Are your eyes puffy? Do you look tired all the time? Now, there's a fix for that, a cream that can help you instantly. You get it free by calling 800-894-3302. It's called Lumitone. Rub a dab of Lumitone around your eyes and it will reduce the look of dark circles instantly. It's amazing. You look bright and refreshed in just seconds. Doesn't stop there. Lumitone has a special ingredient that eases the appearance of your puffiness and bags. Tested and approved, this stuff works. You can get started by calling 800-894-3302. Get a free bottle. You pay a small shipping and handling fee. That's it. 800-894-3302. Lumitone. Get rid of all those bags and the sad look under your eye. 800-894-3302. Ask for Lumitone.
Guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy and the stamina to do anything, anytime? Wish you could have the testosterone of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with Progene Daily Complex. Progene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men naturally produce more testosterone. Right now, you too can try a free month's Progene supply absolutely free. 800-690-9738. Supplies are limited. 800-690-9738. 800-690-9738. Shipping and processing fees apply.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by June 30th, 2011 to start saving. That's right. Save 15 cents per gallon when you use your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Purchases in Louisiana, New Jersey, and some Florida stores do not qualify. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card that is linked to SpeedPass. Maximum gallons eligible for rebate is 100 per account. Offer may not be combined with any other SpeedPass offers. Allow a minimum of 90 days to receive rebates.
If there's a few hungry tummies on the patio, it's a summer party.
Sam's Club member Christy Fowler.
Thanks. Sodas, snacks. Sam's Club is ready with everything, so I'm ready for anything.
From hand-cut meats to fresh produce, simple summer meals to easy entertaining ideas, Sam's Club has the highest quality at low members-only prices. Not a member? Join now through June 5th. Get 10 weeks of savings for just $10.
Whoops, gotta go.
10 weeks, just $10. Only at Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Hey, this is Pete from the Sears Blue Automotive Crew. With summer just around the corner, we want to make sure you're ready to hit the road. So we're throwing our once-a-year Savetacular this Memorial Day weekend at the Sears Auto Center. Through Tuesday, save on everything in automotive. That's right, save on everything we have. If we sell it, you save on it. All accessories are on sale, including batteries. Save on tires, too. Every brand and every size. The Savetacular also includes all maintenance and repairs. We even have special financing available. Visit SearsAuto.com for more great deals. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Talk Radio Countdown. You've heard about the severe overcrowding in prisons, and that violates the Eighth Amendment, which is a ban on cruel and unusual punishment. This ruling is expected to lead to the release of 30,000 inmates in California alone. Here are our hosts Micah Ullman and Chris Burrows reporting on the ruling and what's likely to happen there next.
The United States Supreme Court is handing a get-out-of-jail-free card to thousands of California convicts. Inmates are being ordered back on the streets because the state is chronically unable to hold them in decent condition, says the court. Chris Burrows, live at the L.A. Sheriff's headquarters in Monterey Park, with more on the potential impact.
54 inmates per toilet. That's way too many, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. So they're letting them go home early. Will that make your neighborhood more dangerous? Depends on who you ask. It's about the largest jailbreak in California history, and it's as legal as it gets. The Supreme Court itself ordering 32,000 California inmates back on our streets.
A pit in my stomach. Fear. I felt sick. Scared.
Anna Del Rio's 20-year-old daughter, Teresa, was shot to death. She worries about a crime wave. Do the math. In L.A. County, 70% of released inmates commit crimes again. So as 32,000 criminals are released on our streets, if the 70% recidivism rate holds true, that means there will be 22,400 new crimes committed.
Put them where the Supreme Court lives. ACLU, let them go live in their neighborhoods.
None of that anger or fear was evident from Sheriff Baca today.
We can't just say that we can't do this. We have to find a way to do it. We have to find a way to minimize crime.
Baca says we can absorb the inmates because crime is so low right now. But Supreme Court Justice Scalia predicts, quote, terrible things will happen. I've read this statement from Governor Brown over and over again today, and in it there's not a hint of anger at the Supreme Court. He seems to agree with their decision. Now, you don't have to worry about the entire flood of inmates coming out on the street the same week. They're going to release them in blocks of 5,000 over the course of 2 years.
Here's Jimmy Barrett from his radio program with former Virginia Attorney General Mark Early. They discussed the Supreme Court ruling and how and when and if it will affect the state of Virginia.
How do you think this will impact Virginia, if at all?
I don't think very much right now. The Virginia system is pretty well under control compared to California, which has just been an awful prison system really for the last 15 to 20 years in terms of overcrowding. I do think you mentioned the Richmond City jails. I do think some jails around the country will take note of this and It's probably going to cause a lot of other states and some jails to think about what they're going to have to do about overcrowding.
Yeah. Is this a situation where we are putting too many people in prison that maybe shouldn't be there, or is this just a situation where we have more criminals and we just haven't kept up with the amount of people we need to house, or a combination of both?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of both, especially in California. You know, they have a prison system that's been 200% overcrowded. The two cases that the court ruled on 2 days ago have been around for 20 years, and they've actually had a court order in effect for most of those 20 years for California to do something. They repeatedly have failed to do it. I will say they have a new Secretary of Corrections now in California, Matthew Cade, who I know, who's just a great guy. In the last 2 years, he's been working really hard and making some substantial progress, but it's just it's a pretty horrific situation out there in California. And part of the problem is they have an awful lot of mentally ill inmates that are a result of deinstitutionalization from our mental institutions about 20 years ago. And that was part of it. What was at the heart of the Supreme Court's concern is those mentally ill inmates were not getting proper care, and some of them were dying.
Well, here's the question, though. What becomes the answer? California, of course, is threatening without some sort of a big tax increase. Jerry Brown is threatening to just turn them loose. And if you've got a lot of mentally ill individuals, that doesn't seem like the right answer either.
Yeah, it is. It's a situation that's evolved over 20 years, and they're not going to be able to untie this knot right away. One of the things they're doing that's going to help, although it's somewhat controversial in California, is they are trying to build some regional institutions that will be under local control for inmates who are 2 years or year and a half away from being released to kind of come back in these institutions, which are in the communities where they'll be released. So technically it gets them out of the state system. It puts them under local control. That'll help somewhat. And then I do think you'll see California begin. They have a new law which allows them to release inmates that are low-level risk offenders who are basically physically disabled and really no longer pose a threat. So I think you'll see them release some of those, and then they'll probably release some low-level offenders early, which is unfortunate they have to do that because a lot of these folks are not going to be ready to come home.
Host Bill McEwen here with political analyst Dave Cudgel about the politics behind the Supreme Court's ruling.
If you go to the website of the California State Correctionals Officers Union, there's a video there, and they literally brag that they were involved in 107 races in the last election and that their candidate won 104 of them. As long as the Correctional Officers Union has that kind of political hold on California, can we see any real prison reform?
Oh, I think so. I think we've already made some real progress there as it relates to the passage of AB 900 back in 2007. That was basically to deal with the issue of overcrowding and to respond to the three-judge panel. And I think, a lot of progress has been made as a result of that. Evidently, a lot of that wasn't taken into consideration or considered at all in the Supreme Court decision, which is kind of frustrating and a little bit hard to understand, quite frankly, because I think we are making definite progress towards the elimination of the overcrowding problem that we're dealing with. But the issue of, prison management, that kind of thing, those were the issues that were in major contention as it related to the guards' contracts, that Schwarzenegger would not or could not come to an agreement with them during the whole time he was in office. And, now that situation is very different. They've recently inked a new contract, which I think runs 7 years, something like that. That had, I think, a considerable amount of savings up front in it relating to wages and benefits and that kind of thing. But I don't know long-term whether or not there's any real savings or what we would like to see as reform moving forward. And, again, I think it is basically about the politics. CCPOA was a big supporter of Governor Brown, and obviously that was to their benefit.
And yet, he has this plan to shift inmates to the counties. And the state would be giving up some prisoners that are under the correctional officer's control. And clearly, Brown's hope is that the counties can do this for less cost then the state can do it. In addition, with the state shifting the money to the county, or some of the inmates to the county, there are sheriffs around the state that say they'll actually be able to make enough money off handling these prisoners that they'll be able to reopen space for their local inmates as well.
Up next, we turn your attention to the budget and how it became involved in a special election in New York State.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. We have talk radio and talk television, news talk, so-called issue-oriented, some people say political talk radio. The future of Medicare and how they both became involved in the outcome of a special election in New York. The election was to fill the congressional seat vacated by Congressman Chris Lee, who got into controversy last year when the shirtless photos he was sending to a woman that wasn't his wife wound up on the Internet. So ABC's Rick Klein and Amy Walters here with Congressman Steve Israel of New York about Congressman Paul Ryan's budget, specifically the part about Medicare, which was the number one issue for voters in that district.
Tell us about the lessons learned from your perspective from this special election in New York State.
Well, I think there were three fundamental lessons that both Democrats and Republicans learned from the special election in New York, and they are Medicare, Medicare, and Medicare. The reason that a Democrat was elected to Congress in one of the most Republican and conservative districts, not only in New York, but in the United States, was because Republicans, independents, and Democratic voters rejected the premise that we can terminate Medicare in order to fund tax cuts for big oil companies. That is what the Republicans sought to do, and it was roundly rejected in the special election in New York 26.
So, Chairman Israel, where do we go from here? There are a lot of Republicans saying, okay, this is just a unique circumstance. Democrats have won special elections in districts that didn't mean much in the next election. What does this mean on the issue of Medicare, and especially when Republicans say, yeah, but Democrats aren't really serious about this issue and voters really care about it?
Well, first of all, Democrats have always said to Republicans that we will engage responsibly and constructively in a discussion on how to improve Medicare, how to strengthen Medicare, how to reform Medicare. We will not negotiate the end of Medicare. Voters in New York's 26th congressional district agreed with that premise. Secondly, if Republicans really do believe that Medicare didn't matter in New York 26 and that this is just the one special election that was unique and that they can continue to proceed towards the end of Medicare in order to fund tax cuts for big oil companies, then they proceed at their own peril. I think New York 26 tells Republicans that the end of Medicare is bad policy and bad politics. But if they choose not to listen to what the voters of New York 26 said last night, then I think they're going to find themselves in a very interesting battlefield throughout the country between now and November of 2012.
Now, Congressman, just in that last answer, I heard you say end of Medicare, Medicare's end three different times. Is that really a fair characterization of the Ryan plan? We know it doesn't touch anyone 55 or older, and for those going forward, there is premium support there. It's not an end of the program, it's a major restructuring of the program.
Well, look, they can spin it any way they want. The plain fact is, when you read the Ryan budget, the inescapable fact is that it ends the guaranteed Medicare benefit, replaces it with a voucher system, changes Medicare from a guaranteed benefit to an insurance company benefit, and that is the termination of the guaranteed Medicare benefit. And the voters in New York's 26th congressional district, throughout all parties, independents, Republicans, and Democrats, were smart enough to know that, and that's the way they voted the way they did.
John Nichols from The Nation talks to host John Sylvester about how the election in New York will affect other Republican votes.
But I will say good news for Jane Corwin. She wants to change the way Washington does business. I think she did. Because here's the reality. She lost this election. She lost it by a reasonably wide margin after the Republicans outspent Kathy Hochul and the Democrats by a 3 or 4 to 1 margin. They poured their money in and it just didn't work. And that made this a very clear test for them. And I want to tell you that there will be Republicans today and tomorrow who will be announcing that they're not going to vote for Paul Ryan's plan when it comes to the Senate. And also there's going to be an internal dialogue among Republican strategists about how far they can get from Paul Ryan, how quickly. Because you don't have a situation in a safe Republican district where you recognize your problem early, pour in the better part of $9 or $10 million to deal with your problem, and you still can't undo it.
And, you know, this woman was not a terrible candidate or was filled with gaffes or anything. It's not like she was an embarrassment and they lost because she was a bad candidate. As a matter of fact, comparing her to our candidate in Massachusetts in 2010,
yeah.
I would say that she was actually a pretty decent candidate. I mean, let's face it, our candidate took like weeks off and didn't even campaign.
Here's another thing, too. This woman, Jane Corwin, she exactly took the Republican playbook. She did exactly what they said she should do. Her only sin was to believe the internal spin of the Republican Party and its Wall Street paymaster.
You can find out more about all these items on the Countdown. Check out the Talk Radio Countdown Show section at DougStephan.com.